Indeed, you are powerful, as the Emperor has foreseen.
If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Rebel Force Radio listeners, you can now get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/RebelForce.
Rebel Force Radio presents...
Experimental Unit Clone Force 99. The defective clones with the desirable mutations. They call themselves the Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
This is the Bad Batch After Show. After Show.
Oh yeah, tut-tut everyone. Welcome back to the Bad Batch After Show. As only Rebel Force Radio can bring you back on Friday. Looking at Episode 6, Decommissioned. And the heralded return of the Martinez sisters. My gosh, has it been that long?
Martez.
Darn it! And it circled and everything. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, Martez sisters back on back in Star Wars. But there were quite a few little nuggets that were sprinkled throughout this episode. And anything that we might have missed, we hope that you will bring to our attention. And you know... We know that you will through giving us a call or in the live chat. Really, really appreciate everybody being here for these live shows. It's so much fun. And I honestly, as much as I look forward to a new episode of The Bad Batch, new episode of Star Wars, anything each and every week, I look especially forward to hearing from you all. So, and I also know, as is the case with any talk show, any call-in show, the folks who actually call in are just a tiny fraction of the people that are actually listening. So I want to encourage those of you who have not called in before, give us a call, hit us with an observation or a question or something that you have. It could be about this episode, could be about Bad Batch in general. We would love to hear from you. So don't be shy. Give us a call. It's so easy that Tyler, the call screener, could do it. That's how easy it is. I'm kidding. Tyler will be very good to you, but he'll be good to you. I don't know about this guy. Of course, I'm talking about my good friend and yours from Chicago, Jimmy Mack.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Star Wars fans. First time, long time. And happy to be here.
First time, long time. No, that is true. Jim, you've worked in radio a long time. You know that the people who are actually willing to call a show are just a tiny fraction of the people that are actually listening. So it's good to every once in a while try to get some new voices and encourage people to call.
Grab the phone. Give us a call. Swank doesn't bite.
Hard. All right. Yeah, well, hard. Let's see. that number to call, by the way, I'll pop it up here on the screen is, where is it? Where's my number? Where'd it go? There it is. 708-866-1737, 708-866-1RFR. And I tease, Tyler Page, our incredible call screener and the official program observer, is a great dude. And I don't say it enough. I should. It's a huge relief to me. It's such a great help to me to have him here. Tyler, welcome back to RFR. Are you already screening calls? Are there people already calling? He looks like he's hard at work. He is. Yeah. He is. He's hard at work. Okay. Well, I don't want to disrupt him.
He's talking.
He's talking.
he's got his own thing going on over there.
Well, let's do it.
We do appreciate his help every week.
We do. Good guy. Well, let's talk about it. We're talking about Bad Batch. Season one, of course, still in season one in episode 6. The episode is called Decommissioned. And I've noticed there's a theme. All these episodes have one word titles.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that myself. To the point, all of them. Decommissioned. So yeah. I guess we're talking about the droids, the battle droids.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
decommissioned, right?
Well,
I thought it was kind of cool to see the cleanup of the battle droids following the Clone War.
Right.
You'd have to wonder, well, where did they all go? They all got shut down at the same time. We saw the battle droids get shut down at the end of the Battle of Naboo in The Phantom Menace, but we never saw who had to clean them up and how they did it. Now we get a little bit of an idea. I love a good old-fashioned Star Wars droid factory, too, by the way.
Yes.
I think that's something that's been established in the proud tradition of Star Wars going back to the Kenner days with the Droid Factory playset, which was probably loosely based on the interior of the Jawa Sandcrawler, which it's questionable whether or not that's actually a factory or if it's just a moving storage device. But, you know, just give me some droids and some smelting equipment, and I'm a happy camper. I really am, you know. And as long as everything is just gigantic and there's assembly line features going on, you know, conveyor belt.
Yeah.
A conveyor belt. Yeah, that really scratches an itch for me.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, it would be, you know, hugely a huge part of Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, where we saw a mass droid factory with that we can only dream of as kids. But you can imagine just what a nightmare this melting would be for a droid, just thinking about that. But let's continue here with the tale of the tape. As I mentioned, Episode 6, decommissioned, directed by Nathaniel Villanueva and written by Amanda Rose Munoz. Got the tilde over the end. Munoz, and it clocks in at 21 minutes and 27 seconds. So a shorty. This was a shorty. Mm-hmm. You know, Jim, we talked about it last week. We called it that the Zagirian crossbow was going to be Omega's weapon of choice, and indeed it has. Right out of the gate, there we are doing a little target practice at Sid's bar. And I don't know why I missed the fact. I knew that they, of course, met Sid in a bar, but I was just like thinking with this episode, oh yeah, she runs a bar. It's Rhea Perlman, Carla from Cheers. It's, you can just imagine them sitting around saying, okay, we've got this Trandoshan barmaid. Who's going to voice her? Of course, Carla from Cheers. But I like seeing the continuity. I really did. I like seeing Sid back in the episode in this sense of it being a larger story as opposed to, you know, standalone after standalone.
And it's nice to see that the gang have settled down. It's sort of like they have a HQ now, home base, or Mantell. Or is it Mandel? Or Mantell?
Mantell. It's Mantell. Yeah.
Not the, like... Or the Mandrell sisters, you remember them, the Mandrells? And Rhea Perlman's there. And, of course, she is not related to Ron Perlman, actor Ron Perlman.
Do we know this? I was asking this off air.
Yeah, I looked it up. But, yeah, there's no relationship there. But, yeah, it's not lost on me that she's running a bar. And what were they using for target practice? Was that like... an 80s video game cabinet? It kind of looked like it was. And if it was, that was sort of breaking my heart watching that happen as a big aficionado of those classic arcade video games.
Yeah,
but I couldn't tell.
Yeah. It relax. It may not have been Q-Bert. It was probably something like Zaxxon or Donkey Kong Jr.
Or like Dig Dug. That'd be fine if it was Dig Dug.
Oh, that would be perfect. Perfect if it was Dig Dug. Before we get any further, we just keep hearing from everybody, whether it be on the live chat or in emails, about the pronunciation of Omega's name, Omega. And so we're just going to go to school here. We've got a little chart. So if we're going to just carry this through, this is now, if you prefer us to call Omega, this is what we have to do now. We have to also... refer to the characters as Hanta, Rika, Tik, and Iko. There you go. Iko. All right. So you can't have it both ways, folks. If it's Omega, it's also Hanta, Rika, Tik, and Iko. You got that, Jim?
Well, you're the only one who's really lobbying for it to be Omega in the first place.
Oh, I wasn't lobbying. I just, it was just my preferred way to pronounce it. But yeah, that was a meme that was up last week. I thought that was pretty funny. So,
they're just having fun with you.
They're having fun.
The people who respond, they're having fun. They're having fun with the show. They're having fun with Omega. They're having fun with Jason Swank trying to say the word Omega. It's just fun all around. That's what I like about the Bad Batch, is that people are generally having a good time with it. It doesn't appear that there's too much funny business going on with the storytelling. It seems very straightforward and quality. And it doesn't seem like there's any funny business with the fan base. fan base seems to be straightforward in quality as well. So
yes,
maybe this is bringing back the positive spirit that Star Wars The Clone Wars had on the fan base as it got its legs. I don't think The Clone Wars had the most positive impact on the fan base when it made its big splash. Most people were disappointed with the film. They thought it was weak story-wise. And most people were very cold in reception to characters like Ahsoka. Ahsoka Tano was generally not well-received upon arrival. It took several years and episodes of our podcast to help build that character into what she eventually became. But with this show, it feels like right out of the gate, it's everyone's just having fun with it. And it has that spirit that the old Clone Wars had, at least on our little area of the fan base. So,
yeah,
I really don't hear too many complaints about the complaints I hear about the show is that, it just bugs me to no end when fans do this, where they'll watch an action packed episode like this one that we just saw, called, Decommissioned. And,
oh, no. The wife's calling.
Yeah.
You got to take this? Is it a...
No. She's on the road.
I can entertain the people.
She needs to know that I'm on the air right now. Wendy Sal. There she...
He's got... Jimmy Mack's got one of those ringtones that announces the caller.
Well, I have to.
Well,
I have to. See if it...
Are you sure you don't have to take it?
Sometimes it's not worthwhile.
Family comes first here at Rebel Force Radio.
She says sorry, ladies and gentlemen. She is apologizing now. She's halfway home too, if you're wondering.
Okay. that's good.
But what bothers me is when fans will say things like, you know, they'll watch an action-packed episode like this, filled with brilliant production and animation, great voice acting, really exciting stuff, and they'll just be like, "Well, we didn't really learn anything." And it's like, well, what is this? You know, you want to learn something? Open up Wikipedia. You want to have a good time and go on a thrill ride? Watch The Bad Batch. And believe me, this season is going places. It definitely is. They're going to keep this entire season real nice and compact. Tell a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. I think by the season finale, it will feel like a finale. It will have a big payoff for us. And that's, I'm just basing that on some of the comments the creators made, where they're not certain, you know, there's going to be a season two. There's no green light for a season two. So they kept it all real nice and tight story-wise. And I think that's all going to make a big difference.
Well, that's interesting.
When we're talking about the season finale.
So there's no talk of a season two, but from what I'm gathering, you're saying that there is talk of no talk about a season two.
Well, yeah, there has been comments made by some of the production crew saying that they really only just plotted this out for one season. They would love to have an additional season or whatever, what have you, additional seasons, because there's more stories to be told. But the framework of this season is meant to be kept together and compact and precise, you know. It's supposed to tell a one story from beginning, middle to end. So we haven't reached the middle yet.
You know, that would be an interesting idea if they sort of took this sort of, you know, perhaps an anthology approach where, you know, Star Wars Animation dealt with, you know, different characters in different eras, perhaps. You know, who's to say that it has to be multi-season? I mean, one thing we've learned in this new golden age of television is that, you don't have to have the traditional 23 episodes, you know, all clocking in 22 minutes or 44 minutes or whatever the formula used to be. You don't need that. Now, Jim, I will say I was tempted. As I was watching the episode, I got about halfway through and I was like, oh man, it was this filler. But then I just sort of lost myself into the action. Now, again, as we've discussed, you know, part of my job here is to facilitate discussion about the 22 minutes or 21 minutes that we saw, and when it is largely action-based. I actually had a discussion with a friend of mine not too long ago. We were talking about Star Wars novels, and I said, you know, there's two things that drive me crazy, and this is one of the reasons why I avoid reading the books. I hate reading prose or narrative of a lightsaber duel. Hate it. Makes me insane. And I hate reading prose or narrative of fights or of battles between starships. Hate it. It's horrible. Don't tell me about it. I want to see it. So in the same way, you know, we had a lot of action, a lot of great action, seeing the Bad Batch doing what they do best. And it doesn't always lend itself to discussion because it just is. So what we do here at Rebel Force Radio, Bad Batch After Show, is we sort of peel back these layers and let's see what we can take away from this episode. And you mentioned the production values. Clearly, the production values of this show is just off the charts. It's on par with anything that we saw in the Clone Wars, and I don't know how to describe it. You know, there are certain animation styles, you know, through the years where I'm aware that I'm watching a cartoon, and what they've achieved with this show is I actually forget that I'm watching a cartoon. I really do. And it's not that they don't have a style. Of course, these characters are stylized and all of that, but the performances are so good. The characters, I feel, are so established, even with just being six episodes deep, that I think about them like I would actors or people or characters, you know, from anything else. So I don't watch this with that sort of lens of watching a cartoon. It's subtle, perhaps, but it's something that I thought about when I was watching this episode.
No, that's the brilliance of the animation that they provide on the show, and it all has its foundations in the Clone Wars. That's why the show looks so great and rich and well populated and everything else, is they have all these great animation models at their disposal, seven seasons of the Clone Wars worth. And so then they just build upon that, and they've created the Bad Batch. And so we get not only familiar environments and people to populate those environments, we get characters coming back. Each episode has had character cameos from the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have Cutla Quain, you had Bib Fortuna, and who am I leaving out? I'm leaving out one of the other cameos. Well, we got the Martez sisters.
Well, we got
episode.
Martez. Okay, all right. So I want to address this right now because people are like, Taj Rahal, he says, sorry, I'm late. Is it too late to hate on the Martez sisters? Okay. All right. We get it. And, you know, and someone was saying how soon until Mac or Swank hates on the Martez sisters. Here's what I recall this, Steve Sansweet, our good friend and grand poobah of Star Wars collecting. He said this once about the holiday special, and it just rang true. It's one of those quotes that I always go to. And he said about the holiday special, he goes, you know, the crime of the holiday special isn't that it's bad. It's actually, the crime is that it's so boring for something Star Wars. And I love that because I thought it really put it in perspective. And that's my beef with the Martez. It's not that they're bad. It's not that they're bad characters or anything like that. They're just boring. They're just so human. They're just so earthly. They're just so vanilla. They're so plain. There's nothing unique about them. There's nothing that, you know, is special about them. That's my beef with them. It's like they just plucked, you know, two young girls out of, you know, a random suburb and shot them into the galaxy far, far away. And there you go. That's my beef with the Martez sisters. I don't hate them. I just find them boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't bring any sort of exotic vibes.
Right.
They their backstory. So what? You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are tough all over in the Star Wars galaxy. I just think that I agree with you. They're boring. But what the Bad Batch does, and what makes it so much fun, is that it can take a couple of characters like Rafe and Trace or whatever their names are, and drop them into a situation, and they don't seem as overwhelmingly intolerable as they were in season 7 of the Clone Wars. Also, I believed my opinion about the sisters was amplified because it was the final episodes of the Clone Wars. And I felt like the stakes are getting high, the clock is ticking, and we're spending time with these two siblings who are just, like you said, Jason, dull. Yeah. And kind of stupid, too. Kind of stupid. Let's not forget that. Kind of stupid. And the Bad Batch did a good job of just dropping them into a situation where we didn't have to deal with any long introductions to these characters because we've already seen them before. And they just put them in there, and they weren't half as annoying. I think their presence was almost effective in this episode. I probably would have been happier just seeing a pair of Jawas running around there instead, causing problems. I think that would have been more fun, really.
Well, they could have been very interchangeable, you're right, with any other duo that you could have concocted.
Right. Right, yeah. Except, you know, they don't fly a ship. And at the end of the day, that's what you really needed the Martez sisters for, was to get to their ship to help these guys escape and get back to their own ship.
Right.
And that's where, that's like really the only value of the Martez sisters on this story, which is the one, it looks like she's got a dog turd on her head. That's the one. Did they fix that hair a little bit for this, or am I just seeing things? It seemed like it wasn't so dog turdy.
I don't know. But you mentioned value. And to me, I thought the big takeaway on this episode was about the value that is inherent in these tactical droids, or anyone or anything that has knowledge, deep knowledge about what it takes to defeat the clones. Because the Empire, this young Empire, is still highly dependent on the clones. And so this is, I think, laying the groundwork for perhaps one of the reasons why the movement to replace the clones with conscripted troopers is really going to take flight, because there's so much data, because the clones were fighting droids for so many years. There's so much data that it's almost like the ability for the enemy to predict the movements of these clones is there. And so I really liked that. I thought that was very, very cool, even if the droid head was, you know, more of a MacGuffin. I also like the idea that they very much kind of confirmed that the Martez sisters are rebels now.
Yes, yeah. They're definitely tied in with the Rebel Alliance. Part of me thinks that the information they extract from the tactical droid will already be dated and not really worth anything, because the clones themselves have gone through a transformation. And the tactical droid gained information about the clone troopers as they were fighting for the Republic under the leadership of their Jedi general. Now, the clones have definitely gone through a change. They've evolved into something different. So I don't think that the tactical droid's information is going to be all that accurate anymore because of that transformation. That'd be interesting if they found that out, you know?
Right.
But the clones are so different now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're going to behave differently because we know that the Empire is trying to take away their sense of individuality. So, you know, what does that mean for them? And you know, they're going to obviously they have new generals. They don't have Jedi generals anymore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, how useful is that information? It's a good point. Just a few things that I had. I loved hearing that a lot. There was a lot of Ichutas floating around I think that was coming out of the police droids. For the most part.
Yeah, those guys were cool.
And then, of course, we're building this climax with Rika as he got hit on the head again. Well, I think we also learned that he's afraid of heights.
Right, yeah, he does have a fear of heights. We may have heard that before, but this time it was very clear. As he's like, don't look down, don't look down. And So somehow he's still looking straight ahead and slams his head right into a control panel or something.
Right.
You know, I mean, he should have been looking down. Then that would explain why he slammed his head into the thing. Well, he's just, you know, clumsy. He's a little clumsy. But yeah, right away, my head. And then he's on the ground, repeating that mantra, good soldiers follow orders, which I got to recommend you go back and watch the first arc of season 6 of the Clone Wars, aka Lost Missions, that features Tup and his clone inhibitor chip firing off prematurely. And he starts chanting that mantra and he shoots a Jedi at point blank range.
Yep.
Tup was the clone that had the tattoo of a tear underneath his eye.
Right.
And then also had that painted on his helmet. And I was just watching it today. There's some great animation in those episodes. Oh my God. It's just epic stuff. And shot really well too, I have to admit. And I just really recommend going back and check out that episode because I think it really adds a lot to it really paints the pictures to where Wrecker's heading, you know.
He's going
to end up, but there are no Jedi.
Right.
That's the thing. You know, if Order 66 kicks in, who's he gonna turn on? What if he just suddenly turns on, you know, the kid. On the kid. Because the kid like starts developing some force sensitive.
That is
traits.
A really good point because they're building all of this tension. And all of this consternation about this turn that Wrecker is going to do. And what is he going to do? Now, the thread is, I think, that Wrecker will recall that Hunter let a Jedi go. And that is what, that's the problem that he isn't on the show anymore. I keep forgetting his name.
Crosshair.
Crosshair. Why can I not remember that name? Crosshair. So Crosshair's beef with the Bad Batch initially was the fact that they did not follow orders and they let the Jedi go. So will that be Wrecker's concern or will that be, you know, Wrecker's trigger when he finally goes over the edge? Because that seems to be what's putting them at odds. But that's a great point. Who is there to... because Order 66 was about destroying the Jedi. It wasn't necessarily about... I guess, you know, a blind allegiance to the Empire necessarily or to the Emperor. I mean, it's not obvious that that's the case.
Mm. Yeah, I think that is something that develops rather quickly with the Jedi out of the picture. You know,
right.
The clones, they need to focus their loyalty toward something and someone. And so they do that for the Empire and the Emperor instead. But... yeah, we're gonna have to see how this all plays out. I get nervous for Omega, and also I think maybe this could lead to a reunion with Caleb Doom. You know, we know he's out there; he's on the loose. They may cross paths with him again, and then that's when Wrecker's headache might really pay off.
Yeah,
give us some action because they're building this thing up. I mean, my God, was this 4 episodes in a row where he's hitting his head or complaining about his head. Now he's saying good soldiers follow orders. We're getting close.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
That's what I think. I think it's going to be Caleb Doom. They're going to cross paths with him again.
Well, it would be a great bookend, wouldn't it? I mean, if they started the series out with Caleb, it would be great to see them kind of wrap this up, or not wrap it up, but wrap up the season at least with Caleb and have him brought back in. Plus, there's so much fertile ground there to connect him, you know, with Rebels and all of that. So
I think the Wrecker thing is going to pay off well before the season finale, though.
Oh, I do too. I think I do too.
The headache thing and everything, because it's just every week now. Scary Perry says, are we going to act like the Who's On First joke with Echo didn't happen? LOL. I'll tell you what, I laughed at it. I thought it was well-placed humor. Martez says, is there an Echo here? And he goes, I'm Echo. Yeah, it's just...
I liked it, too. I really did.
I thought it was good.
I did. Well, okay. The last thing I want to do, Jordan, just again to set the table before we start taking some callers, we got some good ones lined up, a couple of first-time callers, excited about that, is a point that I want to make about Omega, which is, you know, they're very clear to point out that she only made 3 out of the 12 shots that she immediately, you know, when she was doing the target practice at the beginning. Yeah. And she's learning. It's refreshing to me that we're seeing an actual character that's not just immediately fantastic and great at everything. I like that Omega is learning, that there's a process. She's got talent, she's got raw ability, but it needs to be refined. They're talking about removing the distractions and some of the ways to refine that talent that's innate in her. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, she's just got to work on those little noodle arms of hers. She needs to start lifting weights. Before we get to the phone line, though, I do want to talk about the very end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
And the transmission with the Martez sisters. And there's only one name that came to my mind when that hologram started. When it was clear that she was sharing information with someone from the Rebel Alliance. Right. And just by, even before the hologram came online, I was thinking one name. And then I saw the cloaks and I thought, well, for sure, it's got to be Bail Organa. It has to be.
Right. Now,
some people were speculating Ahsoka, which is a good guess, but she clearly says, you know, him. She uses like a male pronoun, says connect him or contact him or something like that. I forget what the exact line was. But that's who I think it is. Bail Organa. Bail Organa.
All right, I got to break in here real quick. Chris Hansford with a ridiculously generous super chat says, thanks for all you do. Please find a way to broadcast the weekly show live like the old days. Thanks, Chris. That's very kind of you to say and very kind of you to drop that in the tip jar. You know, that's before we started doing the Bad Batch after show. We had such a blast with Mando after show that we had pledged to do at least a monthly live RFR so we could take calls and do that sort of thing. And then Bad Batch showed up and we, you know, that was sort of our built-in excuse to do that. Rest assured, we've invested in the infrastructure and the technology to do live shows. Cannot commit to doing every show live. But we'll, even when we're not doing after shows, we will continue to have, you know, live interactive shows like this. So that's a priority for us. So thank you very much. Very generous of you. Appreciate it. All right, Jim, what do you say? We open up the phones here.
You don't have any other speculation outside of Ahsoka?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, outside of Bail Organa.
The cloak figure. Yeah. Yes. Bail Organa. I just want to, there's a little semantics debate going on between us and the chat here a little bit. And that's when we discuss the Rebel Alliance versus Rebels. So people are saying, well, the Rebel Alliance wasn't established until later. That is true. That is true. The alliance of all of the rebel cells was established later, but we know that there are rebels right now. We know that, I mean, there are rebels as far back as Saw Gerrera, who I think is the original rebel.
Well, and there's those deleted scenes from episode 3 featuring Bail Organa, Mon Mothma, Padme, Feng Zar. They're having secret meetings discussing something called the Petition of 1000, where all of these star systems were going to start revolting against Palpatine's growing tyranny. And to me, that's where the real seeds of the rebellion come from, are in those deleted scenes. That's where you see Bail Organa revealing he's something of a mastermind at coordinating the early days of the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
So I am thinking that, you know, he's the top dog. I think that's who they were communicating with.
There's some speculation it could be Obi-Wan. Not sure about that. I don't see,
why would the Martez sisters be connected to Obi-Wan Kenobi? It's just impossible. But
through Ahsoka. I mean, how would they be more connected to Bail Organa? You know, keep in mind, Ahsoka. I mean, we're weeks you know, maybe even a couple of months at most after Order 66. So who makes the most sense? I love what you're saying, because you're absolutely right. What the deleted scenes, and unfortunately they're deleted scenes, what the deleted scenes prove is that the groundwork for a sort of an underground distrust of Palpatine was building and brewing within the Senate, led by Mon Mothma, led by Bail Organa. So certainly the original generation of rebels within the establishment. I just look at Saw Gerrera as the guy that is, he's the original rebel that's boots on the ground, that's really, you know, he's not political class, he's not establishment class, he's a guerrilla fighter.
But I mean, he was fighting against a single government within a single star system on Onderon.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he was fighting against.
Sure.
He was rebelling against their local government. So fast forward to Rogue One, you learn that he has this militia cell and that they're operating outside of the organized rebellion. And was Saw ever really part of the rebellion to begin with? People are saying he's the original rebel and everything. I don't even think he was ever part of their actual organization at all. I think they, flirted around with each other a little bit, but he was too extreme. That's at least how they put it in the Rebels animated series. Saw was just too extreme.
Yes.
And in Rogue One, you see that he's operating as a rogue. He's a rogue himself. He's a rogue rebel.
Yeah. No, you're those are great questions. Good thoughts. That makes me want to just, I mean, Saw is sort of emerging for me, and I didn't think it was going to happen, but Saw is emerging for me as a character that's really worth studying and just reading up and going back and watching the episodes and Rogue One and all of that. He is a fascinating character. I mean, for me, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I wouldn't hate a Saw Gerrera series. I wouldn't hate something that really tells the tale of this guy, because I think he's extremely interesting. And you're right to point out that he's not fighting the big fight yet, or at least what we come to see him fight in Rogue One. All right, let's get to the phones. Lots of good topics to tackle. We've got we always try to give Patreon members an advantage here. We're going to put them towards the top of the list. So let's check in from Blake from Missouri. Blake, you're on with Rebel Force Radio and the Mandalorian, the Bad Batch After Show. Good to hear from you. Hello, Blake.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on, buddy?
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. It's been a while since I've talked here.
It sure has. Did you like the latest episode?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. What questions do you have, or what observations do you have?
At the very end of the episode, whenever they were talking to the holocron, or whatever they call it, person on the thing, I was thinking it could be Darth Maul, because they could have just been lying to get the information about...
Blake, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. There was a sinister vibe that I don't know if it was just in my imagination, but yes. Okay, so that's a great question. So let's say that it's flipped. Let's say that they weren't on the good guy side, and they're actually double agents or something like that. Who would the most likely person be on the other side of that conversation? Could it be Darth Maul? Blake raises an interesting question. Jim, what are your thoughts?
I got to admit, I didn't really pick up on the sinister vibe.
No,
but the thing
was sort of ominous.
We already knew what their intentions were with that information they had on that spike.
Yep.
And as so as a storytelling device, why do we need to see them at the end then communicating with a mystery figure? It's easy to say, well, it's Bail Organa or someone associated with the Rebel Alliance, because we had already been told earlier in the story that they wanted to share that information with the Rebellion. Do they ever actually say the Rebellion? No.
They don't say the Rebellion. They just said people, you know, that are basically we're the good guys. I forget the phraseology. I'd have to go back and look at it, but
Well, so I think the storytellers want the audience to believe that they are operatives for the Rebellion. Mm-hmm. And they want us to believe that that's a Rebellion contact that they're talking to. But what's the necessity of that scene at the end? If they've already told us that they're working, they're going to pass off this information to somebody. Mm-hmm. Why show us then them passing off this information? Well, they also shared the information about the clones, the Bad Batch, working as rogue mercenaries.
Yes, that's the thing. Now, here's the deal, right? We know that Maul has a major axe to grind with Palpatine and his empire. Mm-hmm. So he's no friend of the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just look at this from the standpoint of what evidence do we have, the most likely person that hologram is Ahsoka. That's the most likely, because that's the only character that we've seen the Martez sisters associated with prior to this. So it's the most likely. Now, I also agree with you that Bail Organa is up there on the list of likely. But what evidence do we have that by this point Ahsoka would have had made any contact with Bail Organa or known that Bail Organa was working against the Empire? Necessarily this close after Order 66. So number one suspect, Ahsoka. Number two.
Can't be, because the Martez, she said, patch him in or something like that. She clearly referred to the person on the other end of the line as a guy, patch him through R7, patch him through.
Okay. What if it was Fulcrum? We're hearing people in the chat saying, well, what Fulcrum and could Ahsoka have already been pulling this double identity thing where, you know, they know her as Ahsoka, yet she's Fulcrum. You know, the other side of her is Fulcrum. I don't know. Or are they saying him because they know that they're on holocron transmission and it could be traced and they're, you know, not wanting to, you know, give up the identity of the person. I don't know. I do know that Blake is a smart kid, and I really appreciate the call and his observation there.
I think the possibility of it being Darth Maul is just as strong as the possibility of it being Bail Organa. You know, we could be getting a deke out here by the storytellers where they really want us to think one thing when something else is going on. And there was a reason for concealing the identity of that hologram. There's a reason for concealing that identity. If it was just Bail Organa, they should have shown Bail Organa.
What's
the purpose in keeping the lid on that?
Right.
You know, it would be walking us along the path we think that is laid in front of us. But I think we're getting a bait and switch here from the storyteller.
Well, they want to drag it out. And if they drag it out to an obvious conclusion, we're going to be like, oh, well, that was... So, good point, Jim. Mm-hmm. Why drag it out to something that we could easily guess? Hey, we got the best of both worlds here. We've got a Patreon member and a first-time caller, Garrett from Wisconsin. Garrett, welcome to Rebel Force Radio. Thank you for being a Patreon member, and thanks for calling us up.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Jason. Chut. How's it going?
Ah, great.
Hey,
man.
Garrett.
Having a good time. Nice warm night here. Friday night. It's getting close to summertime.
Yeah. Very warm. Blake's idea, I'd never thought about it being Maul, but my idea was that it probably would be Rex. I mean, we already know he's going to be in the show, but I feel like he'd be looking for other clones more than Maul would be.
That's a good point. The Martez sisters make a very, very explicit mention of these clones in the dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's like, we think this would be really interesting to you. You might want to know, or we know you'd like to know about these clones. Could it be Rex? And if we follow the Ahsoka connection, possibly that.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Because, I mean, he could still go by Fulcrum. I mean, it is Rex, and I don't think Ahsoka would go looking for the Martez sisters that quickly. Because it didn't seem like they had that great of a connection. But, I mean, Rex could just be a contact for any good guys out there. And they're like, hey, we got this thing for you. But also, this might be of interest because other clones, and we know that that's rare. And the fact that they're not for the Empire, it seems like.
Yeah. Rex, I got to go back and actually look at the episode again and see. They don't give us much visually at all, do they?
No, they really don't. It's just a kind of a brown cloak.
Wow.
If we could even discern the color, it's, you know, hologram, kind of a bluey, glowy thing. Brown, maybe.
Well, Garrett, if you had to state your case that it's Rex, for the record here,
I just think the fact that they accentuated the fact that it's other clones, don't know that it's Rex, but I think that the fact that they accentuated that they're clones and that they're not fighting for the Empire and that they might be interested, I don't know that Maul would be that interested in them. Ahsoka maybe, but I feel like I don't think Ahsoka will make an appearance in this show, personally.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Why would Maul care? Why would Maul care that there are, you know, rogue clones running around that did not fall prey to Order 66? I think that's a really good point. Really good point.
Also, I have one other thing to mention. So last episode, I think it was, I don't remember which one of you it was, but you guys were talking about the Clone Wars undercover slave arc where Rex, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Anakin go to the slave, I can't remember what they're called, but...
Yeah, Zygerians.
I agree that it's kind of forgettable, but there is a lot more in that set of episodes. You realize that Obi-Wan goes through so much, and he really gets brought down to a lower level because he has no control over the situation. And then also, the Queen's mentioned to Anakin that we're all slaves to somebody, and you think about it with he was a slave to Watto, and then a slave to the Order, essentially, and then a slave to the Sith, and he really isn't a slave to anyone right at that moment at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Wow. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, man. Well, take it from a Patreon member. Thank you so much, Garrett. Great call and really, really good thoughts. Let's take a break here and look at some of our super chats. You guys are just beyond generous and so kind. This is from B. Cardona. The nostalgic sound effects from today's Bad Batch episode, the industrial sounds from episode 2 and the tow cable sounds from the Battle of Mustafar, audio bliss. Jim, were you excited about all that audio goodness?
Well, of course I was. I've been taking note of the sound mix and the sound design for this entire series. And it's just been really, really good. You know, Collins is over there doing the sound now, and he knows authentic Star Wars sounds. And I think he's doing a fantastic
Who's that?
Job. David Collins.
Oh, he's doing the sound mix for the series.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize he's working with Skywalker Sound now. And it sounds fantastic. It just is a real authentic sounding. I mean, Collins knows which sound effects to put in which spots, and I just think he's doing a great job. So, it definitely has been something I've noted for sure. about this show, because that's so important. The sound of Star Wars is, it's not just an afterthought. You have no idea how many TV and film productions, the sound is just an afterthought.
Right.
George Lucas, he developed Skywalker sound because he really understood the importance of sound and he prioritized it. That's why Star Wars movies have so many great sound effects in it, is because it was a top priority for him. And so it's good to see that guys like Matthew Wood, who is the supervising sound director on this show and a student of Ben Burtt's, and a guy who worked directly with George Lucas, he's working on this series. So you have that. You know, we were talking about with the promotions of Filoni to executive level at Lucasfilm, along with guys like Doug Chang and John Knoll. These guys are really important to be guiding Star Wars into the future because they work directly with George Lucas. And Matthew Wood is another guy. He's not some big executive with the parent company or anything, but he is definitely one of the top dogs at Skywalker Sound. And his fingerprints are seen and heard all over these episodes. And it was kind of fun to hear Matt come back to do some wacky brief battle droid antics. You know, it's good to see he's still got some fuel in that tank.
Very nostalgic. Nikki, with a extremely generous super chat says, sending some love, boys. Thanks for these weekly hangouts. Nice to see the battle droids again. So she's also excited about the battle droids. I miss them. Now the Martez sisters, on the other hand,
Nikki's not feeling the Martez, but I don't think they were bad in this. They were quite tolerable, maybe because the spotlight wasn't on them so much, you know?
Well, there's so much else going on, so much else to look at, pay attention to. So yeah, you can definitely tell. Here's Josh Brandon. He says, keep in mind, we haven't seen Rex yet. He could have hired the sisters. He would have intel about the importance of that droid. Ooh, that is true. Rex very well might be one on the short list of people that would realize how important that information was. Now, in fairness, we do have Sid. I think Sid is the first one to mention the value of having that kind of intel. What that value is these days with the Empire, but still, yep, Rex is, he's on the list. So we got Ahsoka, we got Bail Organa, we got Darth Maul as an outlier. We also have Rex.
Could we add Boba Fett to that list? Wouldn't he be someone interested in clones that aren't brainwashed by the Empire? Could he be searching out for other clones? Because, I mean, he's a clone himself.
Interesting.
You know, I would love to see a situation where Boba Fett gets confused for a clone trooper. Somebody misidentifies him. Somebody with the Empire and demands he serve the Empire. So they take him. They take him and put stormtrooper gear on him.
Yeah.
He's walking around, you know, Daniel Logan. He's all dressed as a stormtrooper. And he's like, what the hell just happened to me? Why? But, I mean, that's the oppressive nature of the Empire. They wouldn't, they would look at him and think he's a deserter. And say, why aren't you suited up? What's the matter with
you? Because he looks like a clone, right?
He is a clone.
Yeah, right. Duh. He says, does this look like a clone? There is one other clue, though. There is an exchange between one of the Martez sisters and Hunter where Hunter says, well, we're not like other clones. And she says, yeah, I've heard that before. So where might she have heard that before? Who is she referring to?
Who would have said, remember Ahsoka was reunited with the clone troopers.
Yep.
Was it in that Martez sister arc?
No, it wasn't until... No, I don't believe so. It's close. And a time period wise, I mean, we're only a matter of weeks or a couple of months after that Martez sister arc with Ahsoka.
Yeah, you'd think, right?
Yeah. Here's another super chat from Lewis Tully. I loved you in Ghostbusters, by the way. He says they created a Dryden Voss model For Clone Wars Season 7, I think he'll show up again. Jim, Dryden Voss, is he perhaps, is he on the list of potential holograms?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there wouldn't be a really great payoff for that. They'd have to manufacture something. I like, you know, our mode of analysis here where we're using prior events and characters who would actually be connected to the clone trooper somehow. There's no connection with Dryden Voss and clone troopers. We know he's a collector of military artifacts and whatnot. Maybe he wants a clone trooper suit of armor or something, but that would be the only motivation I could think of for someone in the criminal underworld like he is.
Mm-hmm.
And does he really have clout as an underworld figure at this point in the timeline? This is
right.
Considerably before we hook up with the character in Solo. And by the time we meet up with him in Solo, you know, it does appear like he had established his power as a gangster a long time ago. So he'd probably be an up-and-comer at this point in his career.
Right.
He's
making his bones.
But then we'd have to really be explained why he needs clone troopers, what's his interest in clone troopers who don't serve loyally to the Empire and all that. And that just seems like I could see Voss coming into play somehow, but I don't think as far as him being on the other line of that transmission, I think that's a long shot.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree. Sorry to interrupt the conversation, but I just want to take a moment and thank our good friends at Indeed. And we hear from a lot of Rebel Force Radio listeners, and we know that many of you are small business owners or perhaps working in human resources and the like for your company. But if you're the hiring expert for your company and what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates, you need a hiring partner who helps you make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. You post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. You get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. You only pay for the candidates that meet the must-have qualifications, and you schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy, with tools like Indeed Match giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed skills tests that on average will reduce hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skill tests. Then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, the number one source of hires in the U.S., again, according to Talent Nest. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire. So get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Rebel Force. That's Indeed.com/Rebel Force, a $75 credit. Indeed.com/Rebel Force. Indeed.com/Rebel Force. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you so much to our good friends at Indeed. Hey, we've got a another first-time caller. This one from Illinois.
Hey.
First-time caller. Hello, Ryan. Illinois, how
Hi.
Are you? Cha-cha, buddy.
Cha-cha.
Doing well. Hey, is there an echo in here?
There could be.
Yeah, right
there
here.
Could be. Yeah.
No, it's Eco.
Yeah.
Eco.
Yeah, got the old Amiga.
Right.
Man, I kind of wanted to talk about the ending scene, but
right.
I mean, I guess I'm a little late to the party. I mean, so many people had already done it, but it got me thinking about all the possible villains to good guys, like Rebel Alliance, good guys, villains. Who hired Sid? Who is Sid trying to get the head for?
That's a good question. Because that's a great point, Ryan, because we've got a contractor on the side of the Martez sisters, and now and clearly we have a contractor on the side of the Bad Batch by way of Sid. So great point. There's two heads of the snake here.
There are multiple people who want to know how to defeat clone stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what's your speculation? What are your thoughts?
I definitely would think that it's got to be someone who's not the Empire. So one of the crime syndicates, I would think, would definitely try to get their hands on an upper hand over the Empire. Mm-hmm. And if that needs like a payoff, I think since season one is mainly about, you know, getting to know the Bad Batch and their struggles, just trying to make it out of the Empire. If season two rolls around and they need another villain, the emergence of Crimson Dawn, I mean, with that Corellia nod to Solo, I think that got me perked up when I heard Corellia.
Yeah.
Crimson Dawn is an antagonist in season two. I would be all for that.
I see. So Bad Batch could be up against some of the seedier elements of the galaxy far, far away with going up against them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They might not even know that they're working.
All right. So smart money on the hologram is, what say you, Ryan?
Oh, down to two, Bail Organa or Captain Rex. I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely Bail Organa or Captain Rex.
So Bail or Rex with the hologram, and then the contractor for Sid, you're thinking more...
I put money on Dryden Voss.
Dryden Voss.
He wants to know how to defeat clones.
All right. Well, hey, man, thank you so much for calling. That's two great thoughts. You know, we've spent so much time talking about who's on the other end of that hologram. But yeah, there's another end of this, which is who's on the other side of the transaction with Sid. Good thoughts.
That is good stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of branches to this tree, you know.
There sure is.
I don't mind climbing up it either.
Here's another Patreon, Noah from Minnesota. Hello, Noah. You're on with Rebel Force Radio and the Bad Batch After Show. Hello.
Chut, chut, everybody.
Chut, chut.
Hey. All right. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Of course.
I just wanted to obviously share my thoughts about the episode. I really, really enjoyed this episode. I think even though we got to see the Spice Girls once again, it was fun to kind of get more with Omega's story. I think the very beginning where she's practicing with her new weapon, mm-hmm. I think that scene was just really fun to see. And Sid kind of giving it to her at the very end, I think that was fun to see as well. I kind of wanted to touch on some stuff we talked about, or you guys talked about in previous episodes with Rampart and the elite troopers.
Yeah.
I think the last couple episodes have made me really wish we could go back and kind of see, you know, what's Crosshair and what's the Empire up to.
Totally agree.
I think I just have a big prediction, and I think just like how Director Krennic kind of was undermined by Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One, I think Tarkin's doing the same thing with Rampart. He's going to have Rampart, you know, set up the whole Stormtrooper program, Death Trooper program, that sort of thing. And then by the end, maybe by the end of season one or into season two, you know, Tarkin will just kind of swoop in, take out Rampart and say, this was my idea from the start. Ha ha ha. More power for me. That sort of thing.
Ha ha ha. Yeah.
You know,
I totally see that too.
Thanks, Noah. Appreciate it. You bring up a great point about where the imps, you know, where's Crosshair, where's Tarkin, where's Rampart? Mm-hmm. You know, I keep hounding on this. They couldn't wait to get an action figure of that guy, and we're six episodes deep. We haven't seen him but maybe one time, I think. So, where is he? I would like to see a little bit more of that. I love spending time with the Bad Batch and Omega and all of that, but it would be nice to see... You know, this is such a fertile time for great storytelling mm-hmm. in the Star Wars universe. I want to see what the imps are up to.
Yeah, where they. I think that with each additional time we check in with the Empire from this point out, there's going to be some display of their greater power of oppression. There's every time we see them, it's going to be worse being in the presence of the Empire. We just start seeing it, you know, a little bit with the implementation of chain codes and the commerce, the control of the commerce. The Empire is taking over that. But I think we're going to start seeing worse things. I think we're going to start seeing some real oppression going on here, like a Star Destroyer landing on a village or something like that, you know, something really grievous to display the fact that the Empire is growing in power and in oppressive abilities, too. So that's something I think is going to be coming up in the second half of the season. I think that's going to be more on the table than it is right now. Right now, we're still in the adventure mode with the mercenaries. We're still in the A-team mode with these guys.
Yeah.
But the big picture will come into play in the second half of this season.
Jim, and there's a comment.
We're not there yet. We're not even at the halfway point yet.
No, no. There's a comment in the chat about this old trick. That was a scene that was exciting for some people to see. Do you remember that?
What is this old trick? What is I'm missing that. What does that mean?
Well, when they're in the ship and they're you know, trying to get to Corellia, and they're stuck on the other ship, and they're like, this old trick again. Do you remember that?
No. And it's still I still don't understand the significance of it. What is the significance of it, this old trick?
Because we've seen it before in Star Wars, and they're sort of self-referential.
I'm still missing it. You know what? You could walk up with a baseball bat and just slam me in the face, and I'll be, what? I missed it. What? All right. I don't know. I have no idea.
All right, let's check in for Nick from Minnesota. He's calling in, first-time caller. Great to have you, first-time caller, Nick from Minnesota. What's on your mind?
Thanks, guy. Well, first and foremost, let me preface with, I went through a kind of a bad divorce, and you two got me through it. That's no joke.
Man.
I discovered your podcast shortly after when it first started about, and I listened to all your guys' stuff. You made me feel like I wasn't alone. And then I was having a conversation about Star Wars with two close friends. So over the past year and a half, you guys have been part of my weekly and sometimes daily life for literally the last year and a half. And it has meant a lot to me. So thank you both. And everyone.
Good, Nick. And I hope you're at the other end of the tunnel now, and things are getting better for you.
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good. That's what's most important.
I'm still here with you guys, and I love it.
Good, man. Thanks, man. Well, we're here for you. We're here for you.
Always.
Whenever you guys have a guest and you do the Yoda questionnaire, mm-hmm. you always ask, which character do you like the least? And even though the Martez sisters is a close second, I cannot stand. I yell at my AirPods that it's Ezra Bridger. I can't stand that guy. Oh, he drives me crazy. Oh, I only watched Rebels just to listen to the story, but God, every time he came on the screen, I was just cringing. So my point is, if you like Ezra, I don't think that you can I think Ezra and the Martez sisters are just the same thing that you guys talked earlier. They're dumb, they're boring, and it's just so cringy to watch them. And the thing that I really don't like about the Martez sisters is what you talked about earlier. And I hate slinging mud like this.
Uh-huh.
But
you're going to do it.
It's the end of Clone Wars, and that's the arc that you want to tell. There's a million beautiful stories out there that you want to tell this dull and boring arc. Oh, whatever. So anyways.
All right.
I think they're both.
So if we had you on the show.
The same crap coin.
If we had you on the show and we were doing the Yoda questionnaire and we got to that question, your least favorite Star Wars character, hands down, Martez sisters.
No, Ezra Bridger.
Oh, Ezra. I'm sorry. Ezra Bridger. That's
he,
right.
He noses it out. And I wish God, there's been so many people on your show. I wish they would just say it. I know I can't be alone in this. Oh, that guy just rubs me wrong.
Well, you know.
And so to that point, when the Ahsoka live action series comes out, I know it's probably going to be a hunt for Ezra, and I'm hoping the translation to live action softens that for me. I'm open to it. I'm not that prejudiced. I'm hoping.
There's a rumor. There's a rumor it's going to be the same actor from the live action Aladdin playing Ezra, which is pretty funny because when Rebels debuted, we all called Ezra Star Wars Aladdin. So things are coming full circle, perhaps, maybe, maybe. But I'm with you. I like the actor, Taylor Gray, who played Ezra. He's a really great guy. I hung out with him a few times, and just a wonderful dude.
Don't tell him.
No, I won't. And I also won't tell him I agree with you a little bit, Nick. I kind of think Ezra is a little weenie myself. So.
He's such a little whiner.
Oh, is he a little whiner? Awful. My God.
I just wanted to slap him to the TV. Anyway, so a couple other things super quickly. My favorite moment of the whole entire episode was when the droids woke up. Did we win? I literally liked that too. I thought that was the funniest thing.
I like that too.
And then I think Bail Organa is probably the most likely choice.
Another vote for Bail Organa.
But to agree with Jimmy, Dave Filoni likes these little bait and switches, so he knows that we're thinking it's Bail. So as an outlier, and I think there's a 1% chance, but given the upcoming series, there's a million reasons why it won't be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Well, maybe. Just some weird tie-in. I know we're just after Order 66, and he's in hiding. I don't know. Just maybe.
All right, so he's your dark horse in this race. All right.
Yeah, he's just my rando. But I do like Crimson Dawn or, what's his name? Who's the guy that's with Admiral Tarkin right now?
Rampart.
Oh, yeah, Rampart.
He made an action figure of him.
Mm-hmm.
Rampart. I think it's either Crimson Dawn or Rampart. On the other side with Sid.
Okay.
One of those, because he must have a big part with this action figure.
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing.
Nick, thanks a lot, man. And the kind words at the top, we really appreciate it. And we do love that we can be there for not just you, but listeners that are going through all kinds of things here. Looks like, oh my gosh, Jimmy, either he fell asleep or he froze. So hopefully he can join. There he is, everybody. Now, Tyler's still with us. Tyler, oh no, I just got a text. Jimmy lost power. Holy cow of all times. So guess what, man? It's you and me.
All right. There's not even rain here, so I don't know what's going on.
Well, it might be something unique to his area. Let's see. Let's get another caller here. Oh, he says it's back, so hopefully he'll be calling us back. We've got Patreon on Patreon member and first time caller Peter from California. Hello, Peter. You're on with me and Tyler.
Hey, dude. How's it going, Chut Chut?
Hey, Chut Chut. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, it's pretty funny that you guys say Chut Chut. Growing up, my dad always would walk around the house going, Nubian. So I always thought that was
Nubian.
Yeah, that was our family. That was my family thing growing up. Every just a stranger, they had no idea what he was talking about, but he's Nubian. So I don't know.
I love that your dad just walked around randomly quoting Watto. That's it.
It was great. I don't even think I understood it till I was like 11.
Yeah.
But I finally caught on. I was like, what does that mean? And I've watched Star Wars since I was like in diapers. But anyway, yeah, first time caller. I've been listening to you guys for years. But I just decided to give a call in. I just joined Patreon not that long ago.
Thank you.
Enjoying all the extra content. And Jimmy Mack's been super responsive. We chatted on Twitter for a moment and then he messaged me back on Patreon, so I wanted to thank
Well, he him. Never sleeps.
We lost him.
You know, I know. He's going to be joining us here in just a minute. But yeah, the guy never sleeps. I still get emails and texts from him at 2 and 3 in the morning, and you know, he's always working hard for RFR. That's, we appreciate that.
You guys
of course.
Do a fantastic job. It's definitely been a blast to have just this extra content to listen to.
Appreciate it.
Interesting going so late in the call. A bunch of people stole or had the same ideas that I've had, but I've had some time to think about it. With the end scene here, I think a lot of what Jimmy was saying is true. I just don't see the point of it being Bail Organa, even though he's the most logical sense, if they're going to hide him. I was definitely leading the Darth Maul route.
Is that because we've seen this Darth Maul like reveal so many times? You know, like every time they build up to a big surprise, it's Maul.
It's Darth Maul. I think Filoni's got a just a you know, soft spot in his heart for him. You guys just dropped that 3-minute Filoni clip about him talking about Maul. I think it's got to be something to do with the criminal underworld, because you've been talking a lot about how like the time frame that we're at from when the Order 66 kicked in, and I just don't know. Like you said, with Ahsoka, if the novel takes place at all, I mean, she's supposed to be going off on her own. Yeah. I don't know if she's trying to track down the Martez sisters for help. I think timeline-wise, she left them and then went to go fight Mandalore.
Right.
And then Episode 3 takes place.
Yep.
I've never been really positive on how long Episode 3 spans, but Padme's pregnant, and then she gives birth.
Yep.
And she didn't seem that pregnant when Anakin shows up saving the Chancellor, so it's got to be several months before Order 66 even takes place.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the Martez sisters have been out on their own for 6 months at least, even before maybe 66 takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the criminal underworld. They're trying to do jobs for people. So I just think with Solo, all the stuff they originally had planned with Crimson Dawn and Corellia, I just think it makes a ton of sense for it to be some kind of Maul connection as he starts to build up his underworld. But
so,
it could easily be Rex.
Well, Tyler hasn't waited.
Light side route.
Okay, if you want to go light side route, Rex, dark side route, Maul. Tyler, you haven't weighed in here. What are you thinking about the hologram at the end?
Well, I could see some sort of evil or bad person doing it, because even though the Martez sisters come from this whole arc of, oh, we've learned how to be good and fight for the rebellion, you see these moral quandaries where they're letting Omega almost die. And, you know, that's not a very morally right thing to do. So it's still, you know, I question whether they're good or bad, you know, at this point, especially, you know, with Ahsoka gone, she's not there to guide them. So I could see someone evil, maybe Maul, maybe a crime syndicate. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, what we know about the Martez sisters is that they're survivors, and they're going to go where the money is. They're going to go where the opportunity is. And right now, the underworld is flourishing because the galaxy is in chaos, in a sense, as the new regime is taking over. Now, it's probably not going to be chaotic for very long. We know that the Empire, if nothing else, it brings a totalitarian order to things. But it also does create, you know, an environment. Oh, wait a minute. Who do we have here? I think he's back. He's back.
I'm back.
Jimmy Mack is back. Just in time to talk to
Jimmy Mack.
Peter from California. Peter's a first-time caller and a new Patreon member. And his money is on the light side for that hologram at the end, Rex. And who was your guess if it was a dark sider or not dark sider, but someone on the other side? Maul?
Yeah, I mean, before we jumped on this, I was leaning Maul before Blake and everybody else called in. I still kind of am leading Maul. I think they have a ton of story left, and I don't know if we're going to get a lot of live action of what they want to do in Solo. So I think you make a great point. I mean, it's been months. There's no Rebel Alliance. There's just anybody that is against the Empire is considered a rebellion, is a rebel, right? An insurrectionist. Anybody that wants the Empire to be gone. And so I think a ton, I mean, if you look at Cassian from Rogue One, I think a ton of the Rebel Alliance starts from maybe not the greatest of dudes. Like, there's some, a lot of bad, shady people that help fight and start the rebellion, probably. And I think it really takes Luke Skywalker and a bunch of these big-time heroes like Ezra, whether we like him or not, that really make the Rebel Alliance like this beacon of hope.
You know,
I think it's just people that don't like the Empire, and anybody that's anti the Empire gets labeled as a rebel.
Yeah.
So I think Maul makes a ton of sense, just in the sense that he wants to do whatever he can to stick it to Palpatine and build his own empire.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But you guys make some good points about the clone comments and such. So I don't know. I would say Maul and then Rex on the other side if they're going to go, because it doesn't make any sense to hide Bail.
Right.
Like Jimmy Mack was saying, I just don't see the point of hiding Bail reveals to us.
Agreed. Peter, thank you so much. Thanks for being a Patreon member, and thanks for the call. Really appreciate that. Want to try to get a couple more calls in here. We got Daniel calling from all the way in Australia.
Wow.
Daniel, you're still with us?
Chat, chat, boys. Good morning from Australia and from the future.
That's right. I love it.
Yeah.
So tell me, how's tomorrow? Is it a good day?
Well, here is fantastic. It's a beautiful morning, and I'm just getting ready to head to work.
Oh wow!
So I'm on afternoon shift today at the day job.
I love that we're your pre-work thing. That's great.
We're the morning show.
You guys, on a Saturday morning for me here, you guys are my morning show.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome. Thank you. So you had a question about R7, the Martez's droid.
So we see the Martez sisters. The Spice Girls, as one of the other callers put it, which I love, have R7. Now, we know from the Clone Wars, R7 is Ahsoka's droid. And we see R7 on board the Acclimator in that last episode, helping Ahsoka and Rex escape from the rest of her former squad, from her former unit of clones.
Uh-huh.
When Order 66 happened. Now, I want to know is, we only see Ahsoka and Rex escape that ship as it's coming down and coming down hard in the Y-Wing. There was no droid in the slot. How the hell does the Martez sisters then get their hands on R7? Because we don't see R7 when Ahsoka's burying all the bodies and standing there, and she leaves her lightsabers. Mm-hmm. It's just her standing there.
Wow.
And the,
I got to go back and watch it, man.
That's really good detective work. I got to admit, R7 was a low priority for me when I was watching that final episode of Clone Wars. I was kind of taken in the moment and the emotion of it all, and I wasn't even thinking about the random astromech. But I like your mode of thinking here. I think you're following a trail of breadcrumbs that might actually lead us to a whole loaf of bread. So I really like the way you're thinking about this.
When I watched this most recent episode of The Bad Batch, after the episode finished, my Disney Plus went, oh, you watch The Bad Batch? You'd like to watch The Clone Wars. And because I saw the Martez sisters, and I went, I've seen these two chicks before. I've seen these two before. And but all right, I went back and watched, you know, when the Clone Wars came up, I went, that's where I've seen them. They're a focus, mate.
Right.
And then I went, you know what, I'll watch the Siege of Mandalore episode. And that's when I went, hang on, R7, how does he get out?
Wow, that's a good way. I just a small detail. When Disney Plus served up Clone Wars for you after this episode, did they point you to the Martez sister episode, or was it just Clone Wars in general?
It was just season 7 Clone Wars, but the advertising banner that was there, had Ahsoka and the Martez sisters on it.
Oh, interesting. Okay, wow, good marketing, good cross sell. Daniel, thank you so much, man.
Have a really good.
What's that?
Now, the hologram.
Oh yes, yes. What say you?
My test sisters are speaking to. On the light side, given I can understand where Jimmy's coming from with the cloak. It does look very Bail Organa. Mm-hmm. But if you have a look at that season seven, last scene of that season seven episode of Clone Wars, Ahsoka's wearing a cloak. So I reckon it's Ahsoka in that hologram, given the fact that it's her R7 droid that the Martez sisters have. Now, on the other side, who is Sid contracting the Bad Batch out to?
Right.
I think it'd be Crimson Dawn. And so it's got to be like someone like Dryden Voss, because the Empire's rising and they're sort of trying to crack down on the criminal under the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Crimson Dawn going, hang on a moment, we've got to stop these clones. And he worked with Maul during the Clone Wars. And it'd be, you need a tactical droid to anticipate how these clones are going to, you know, fight.
Yeah.
So it'd be them trying to, that's, I think, who's contracting through Sid.
All right. Great logic. Daniel's quite the detective. Daniel, our detective from Australia. Have a great day, man.
Good.
Thank you so much. That was really good. One last call here, and then we're going to get through some of these super chats that we've got. Thank you, everyone. Whoops, wrong button. We wanted to get through those. So we've got Antonio from New Jersey. Antonio, you're on with Rebel Force Radio. Hello.
Cha-cha and hey-hey.
Hey, hey.
Tyler dives in on that.
Quick question. Do you guys think Nick enjoyed Rebels?
What's...
wait. I don't think he enjoyed Rebels too much.
Oh, Nick, our Ezra hater. Look, there was more to... There was a lot more to Rebels. But... There was a lot more to Rebels than just Ezra. It was definitely his series, but I think you could enjoy... Maybe Nick will call us back in a future show and tell us whether his dislike for Ezra ruined the whole series for him. I think there's enough other stuff there in Rebels that it wouldn't have to be a total buzzkill. But yeah, good point. Probably not his favorite series.
He had me laughing. I love Rebels. I actually enjoy Ezra seasons, the 3 and 4 where he actually grows up.
Yeah,
definitely
gets a
lot better. But. That's not why I'm calling, so I don't want to get off topic too much. But I guess real quick, two points. One, love the Spice Girls. That nickname is now, I don't even remember, the Martinez sisters? Spice
Martez. Girls, no, Martez. Sorry. I said Martinez.
See?
Martez.
See? I don't even remember. All right. So to throw my vote in for the hologram, the reason why I don't think the Spice Girls are talking to... anyone but a light side. It's got to be Rex or Bail or Ahsoka's, because the older sister makes that comment to Hunter at the very end, where she's like, trust me, eventually you have to choose a side. And I feel like it's key for Hunter on his growth, right? Because good soldiers follow orders, right?
Right.
But for her, she was the one who was like very anti getting into helping out people. She's the one who was like looking out for her own. So for her to say that, I think kind of important.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah, she was. Side, she thought that, you know, her sister getting entangled with Ahsoka was not a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. For Sid's contact, I would love to see. Now, hear me out. Someone who knows clones very well, who knows battle droids very well, is underground. Hondo Inaka.
No, I knew it. I knew he was going to come into play. I was watching this whole episode thinking to myself, when are we going to see Hondo in the Bad Batch? And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to see Hondo in the Bad Batch. I'm Hondo'd out. I am Hondo Naka to death.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if Hondo shows up in the Filoniverse.
It's a guarantee.
You know it.
Here he comes. Here he comes.
I don't know. I'm not, I love it. Maybe if I go to Galaxy's Edge, I'll be Hondo'd out. I haven't been there yet.
But that's what pushed me over.
That's what pushed me over.
Well, yeah.
Riding around in the valley.
Was Hondo constantly talking during that Millennium Falcon ride. It's right. Just like, shut up already. Wow. Just shut up. I'm so tired of Hondo Onaka.
If I'm riding around in the Falcon, I want to hear Han Solo talking to me. That's who I want to hear talking to.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what something about that, actually? Hondo. What about one of the original trilogy characters being on the other side of that hologram? Princess Leia, perhaps?
Well, she's an infant.
Mm. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, you're right, timeline-wise.
Yeah,
yeah, because she was what, preteen when she was in Rebels. That's right. She was like a tween then.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But maybe Mon Mothma, maybe a Mon Mothma.
Well, Mon Mothma wouldn't be bad. Yeah, I like what you were saying, Jim, earlier. I like where's Fang Czar? Let's get some love for him.
let's get that beard in play.
Well, I mean that's who Tyler cosplays as. Look at Tyler here. He's got the he's got the Fang Czar nice. Beard. He's got a little more to go, but
yeah, give it time.
All right.
Hey, man, thank you so much. Yes. No, please,
no,
go.
No. You sure?
I'm absolutely sure.
Okay, cool.
Yep, I got nowhere to be.
So, same here. I only have two kids crying their eyes out inside, so I can ignore that for a little bit longer. So the reason why I called was actually because of Omega.
Yeah.
I was... just starting to do some clone math, right? And clones age, let's say, at a delta of 2. So when they're 10, they're actually 20. That's when they're going into battle. If Omega is, let's say, between 12 or 14 years old, she's around 6 or 7 actual lifespan, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm with you.
That would put her at the beginning, being made, at the beginning of the Clone Wars, if not a little bit before. So I would just love to hear your guys' thoughts and a little bit of speculation on why would they be creating her, A, but why so early in the process? It kind of feels like I thought she was an iteration of other clones once they realized, hey, they could make a special mm-hmm. clone. So it's just interesting that she was made at the very beginning.
Before you jump off, I just want to throw out to you, what if she doesn't have age acceleration? What if she's like Boba? What if she is an unaltered clone, so she really is the age that she appears, as opposed to what you're suggesting?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of destroys my whole theory. So that's
no. I'm just saying that it's...
I'm kidding.
No.
That's a really good option, though. Yeah,
it is a possibility. It is a possibility, but you're right in that the assumption is, or my assumption has been, is that she's an amalgam or a combination of some of sorts of the Bad Batchers in particular. Good question. You know, there's just too much math involved.
I tend to think she doesn't have that double acceleration. I tend to think she just is aging normally. Have you seen the pictures people are putting online of Daniel Logan with long blonde hair?
Mm-hmm.
Those are funny. Those are funny. Very nice. Very nice.
Let's see. Let's get through some of these, again, very generous super chats here that we have. Our pal B. Cardona. If it isn't the Quokka calling the Stifling slimy, that moment might have passed. I'm not sure what that means, man, but hey.
It's glad whatever to have you. It's the phrase that pays for this
yeah,
week.
Yeah,
it's
the
That's what it is.
Here, let's see. This is from Ian Savage. Says, the cinematic quality in this episode was amazing. Always love the after show. Shout to Tyler and the other Star Wars super friends. I love that, the super friends. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Yeah. Thank you, Ian, and thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it very much. Matthew.
Star Wars super friends is a group of friends of the show and listeners, and they watch the live show, and then they get together afterwards and have a Zoom hangout to discuss all the things we said incorrectly during our show.
Matthew Rooney says, who were the Martez sisters talking to at the end? I think they're still in touch with Ahsoka, is already working for Bill again as a rebel. Thank you, Matthew. Yep, yep. Those definitely, those two are on the short list of potentials.
But they refer to he. They refer to a
I gotta
male.
Go back. I gotta go back and look at that a little more closely. Let's see. Danny says, I agree with you, Jimmy. It's probably Bail. I do think that Ahsoka will eventually show up. Yep, I agree. Ahsoka's gonna be in all of the Filoniverse series that they can possibly get her in. And I'm not complaining. I love Ahsoka. So,
well, they better bring back Ashley Eckstein to do the voice.
Oh,
that's
boy.
All I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, they better. Nikki, great to have you back with us here on another Super Chat. Best part of the show is the time period. Love the clones, but I'm more curious about the galaxy post Order 66. Yeah. Me too. We're getting
little samples of it here and there, but I would love to see a full blown out episode really providing more insight into what's happening with the Imperial takeover of a galaxy and the death of democracy.
Right. Lastly, B. Cardona says, Omega in the pit gave me Toy Story 3 vibes. Toy Story.
I never saw Toy Story 3, so thanks for the spoiler.
I saw it once. I saw it once. It's been so long.
All what the toys it? Are heading towards the incinerator.
Right.
Like Omega.
Yes. Yeah, well, no. don't spoil it for Jimmy. And I haven't seen Toy Story 4 either, so no Toy Story. I've seen the first three.
It says Andy. You can't see.
Andy.
Andy.
I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, I think that's gonna wrap it up. This week, Bad Batch After Show. Tyler, thank you so much. As always,
Thanks for having me, man,
we couldn't do it without you. Really, really appreciate it. And sending us some great callers. Thank you to all of our callers. Sorry we didn't get to everybody, but there's always next week. Speaking of next week, we will be coming at you on Saturday. So it'll be June 12th, Saturday. We'll be doing our Saturday afternoon show, 1 p.m. Eastern time, which is, we're told, good for some people. Maybe not as great for others, but when we can't do them on Friday nights, we're going to do them on these Saturday afternoons. So we'll be back Saturday. As I said, thanks to all of our callers. Thank you to all of the members of our Patreon group. Appreciate the support. Appreciate the good thoughts. Tyler, we did ask you about the figure at the end, but anything else in this episode jump out at you as something particularly interesting?
I was curious about Wrecker, his headache, and I was really getting my blood pumping when he got shot and fell down. But he was... I'm curious if his chip has already activated or he just needs to see a Jedi to react or what's going to go on. Because he was very scared.
What's the trigger? Yes, good.
He was scared of heights, and then he got up from being shot and saying good soldiers follow orders, and he just jumped right off that thing. So there's some mental stuff going on that,
It's mental.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to continue to unfold for sure. But I like what you're saying and what Jim was saying earlier about what's the trigger. If he doesn't see a Jedi, it's like the tree falling in the forest. Does it make a noise? If a clone, doesn't see a Jedi, does he actually react to Order 66? Is that what really is the moment? Good point. Very good. Well, thank you for being, again, the call screener and the official program observer. Really appreciate
it. Love doing it.
Thanks, Tyler.
Jim, final thoughts.
Wow. Final thoughts on decommission. We really covered a lot of the bases here on the show. I was 1,000% convinced it was Bail Organa, but now that we've worked our way through analyzing that final scene, I'm not so sure anymore. Just because of what I observed as we were talking about is the fact that they hide the identity of the person. So I think they're pulling a bait and switch on us. I think we're meant to believe it's someone who it isn't. I'm still standing by that male pronoun that was used. And I'm taking that for face value, thus ruling out Ahsoka, even though, man, our listeners brought up some real compelling evidence for why it should be Ahsoka, especially the R7 droid. Wow, that's some good, like I said, following the breadcrumbs. And that's what it's all about, is trying to do those things and stay one step ahead of the creatives. And they know this. They know this. That's why they try to pull a fast one on us from time to time. And I think that's the case here. I'm not so sure about the Martez sisters. They're definitely connected to the underworld. And I know Crimson Dawn is something, is a concept that was heavily developed for existence beyond the Han Solo film.
Yes.
So I doubt they want to leave that research on the shelf, especially considering that this is covering the early part of that same time period where we know the Crimson Dawn is active. So I like a lot of the detective work people are doing. Dryden Voss? Maybe. Or could it be the character that was originally going to be Dryden Voss, played by Michael K. Williams? If you remember during the Phil Lord and Christopher Miller reign of that film, they were shooting with Michael K. Williams, who was supposed to play Dryden Voss. I'm not sure if the character had the same name or not, but Dryden was supposed to be a mocap alien that was going to look like a mountain lion. But then when they flip-flop directors, brought in Ron Howard, Michael K. Williams wasn't available for reshoots, and thus they brought in Paul Bettany as a human antagonist. So why not bring back that motion capture alien that Michael K. Williams was supposed to play? The
that would
original
be cool. That would
Dryden
be really
Voss.
Cool.
You know, again, I'm talking about research and pre-production, things that were paid for but left on the shelf. And I see opportunity in animation to bring back ideas that couldn't be used. That's one of them. But having Dryden Voss, the Paul Bettany Dryden Voss, appear in this show, that there's a lot of potential behind something like that, too. And Baby Rancor, not in this episode.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you next time here on Rebel Force Radio and the Bad Batch After Show. Please make sure that you're following us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and please like, give the thumbs up to this video and hit that subscribe button, ring the bell, all of that good stuff. And we'll continue to grow the YouTube side of our operation here. But of course, the flagship podcast can be heard wherever podcasts are found. Rebel Force Radio, the number one Star Wars podcast in the galaxy. Thanks to you, all of you. Appreciate it so much. We'll see you next time, next week. For Rebel Force Radio, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy Mack.
And remember,
Force will be with you always.